Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
I got to be honest with you this morning. As I was kind of prepping for this message, I felt really unworthy. I felt like this is not a message that I should necessarily be preaching because I do not have the aspect of rest mastered as a follower of Jesus. In fact, this morning as I'm coming to the Word, I'm needing this message just as desperately, I think, as the rest of us. I'm coming to Jesus and I want to hear what Jesus would say to me about rest, because the truth is I'm one of those kind of guys that it's just like, give me the next thing. What's on the next thing? How do we keep going? Right? But I know that rest is good. I know that rest is good because it's in His Word over and over and over again. You know, really this kind of came to the head for me a couple of weeks ago. We were in an elders meeting. And I was kind of mapping out this series for the elders, for Pastor Ronald and Pastor Philip. And I was saying, hey, here's the direction that we're going. And this is going to be kind of, we're talking about the practical nature of some of these rhythms that we need to be in, especially as the school year starts. And I said, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having a really hard time thinking of the practicality of rest. How can I make this practical? And without skipping a beat, and I think somewhat inspired by the Holy Spirit, Pastor Ronald said, James, is that because you don't know how to rest? And listen, if it was anybody else, I would have pulled one of those whatever moves, right? I'd have been like, whatever, you know? But when it's somebody that you so greatly respect, like Pastor Ronald, telling you that, you got to stop and pause. And it did. I had to stop and pause because I think he was right. I think that I don't know how to rest well. And so this message was kind of prepped for me, if I'm honest. So if you hear this and it's not for you, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just for me. I'm serious, like maybe it is. But he was so gracious and he kind of gave me some practicals even in that meeting that I kind of walked away with. But what I want to do more than anything is I want to go to God's Word and I want to hear what Jesus would say to us about rest. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Gospel of Mark? We're going to be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on afoot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things.
Thank you, sir. All right, so I want to kind of get some understanding of what's going on in this text. So let's kind of look at the context. So Mark, in his gospel, he's already shown us how Jesus has begun his public ministry of preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. And he's been healing people of disease, and he's been delivering them from demonic oppression. But he's also done something else. He's invited this ragtag group of men, these ordinary men, to come and apprentice underneath him, to follow him, to watch what he's doing. And he's become their teacher. Now, the goal of any student who was underneath a rabbi at the time, that's another name for teacher, was for them to be with their rabbi, to learn, to become like him, and to do the things that he did. And in this case, the disciples, they're listening carefully to Jesus' message about repentance, about turning away from sin and turning to God. And they're watching all of the incredible miracles that Jesus is performing. That's why the crowds are coming out to see him as well. But then as part of the discipleship of these men, as part of their apprenticeship, Jesus sends these men out in pairs. He sends them into the countryside to go and to preach the message, to go and preach the message of repentance. And he sends them out with this power so that they can cast out demons, they can heal the sick, and deliver that same message that Jesus himself has been preaching. The message of turn from your sin, repent, and turn towards God. And here's extraordinarily what they do. Extraordinarily, they do that. They're delivering people of demons. They're healing the sick. They're preaching this message that people are repenting and they're turning back. Can you imagine this scene? Can you imagine this scene where the disciples, they come to Jesus excited about everything that they've been doing? I imagine Bartholomew. Now listen, Bartholomew, he doesn't get a lot of airtime in our messages. You know what I'm talking about? Poor Bartholomew. He really doesn't, you know? But I imagine Bartholomew coming and he's like, Jesus, you won't believe this. I was actually preaching the message of repentance and somebody came to me and they confessed their sin and I prayed over them and they started to turn away from their sin. And then he butts Peter. Excuse me. Jesus, I got something even cooler. You got to hear this. That's Peter, right? Typical Peter. Butts in and he's like, you got to hear this. Listen, this family told me about their kid who was sick, and they asked me to pray for him, and I prayed for him, and guess what, Jesus? He got better. Yeah. Typical Peter. Typical Peter. Listen, that's what they were able to do. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to see why. Remember, these are ordinary men. These are ordinary guys. And sometimes I think what we do with the apostles is we deify them a little bit. We make them a little bit above what they really were. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were probably farmers. They're not a lot different than you or I. So how in the world are they able to have this kind of power? I mean, the scripture says this. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. That's just above this passage that we read. Look at what they're doing. So he sends out these ordinary men to do exactly the same thing that he himself was doing. And this is before the day of Pentecost, before they're filled with the Spirit. Guys, this is before the resurrection. So how in the world are these guys able to do this? Mark tells us. Mark 6:7 says this. Jesus gave them authority. Jesus gave them authority. Authority. So Jesus gave them the authority to do it. Church, when Jesus gives you the authority and the power to do something, guess what? You have the authority and the power to do it. When Jesus gives it to you, you have that power to do that. And there are some of you, you have come in here this morning and you're feeling overwhelmed by an addiction that you cannot break free from. Or some of you, you've been struggling with a shameful secret sin and you feel like you can't get away from it. But I want you to hear me this morning, because if that's you, you're right. You cannot be free from that addiction. You cannot be free from that sin in your own power. You cannot do it by yourself. You can be free with the authority and the power that Jesus gives you. That's how you can be free. Now, I want to let you in on something. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Ministry is taxing. Guys, I've gained like 20 pounds since I've been here. All right? Ministry is tiring. It wears on you. You're dealing with people's hurts. You're dealing with people's pains. Right? You're dealing with sometimes with people who don't listen. Right? You kind of give them some advice and they don't listen. Happens all the time. So it's tiring, it's taxing. And that's exactly what the disciples have been doing, but they've been witnessing the incredible side of it, right? They've been watching the lives being changed. And that's what they're wanting to come and to tell Jesus. They're so overjoyed. They want to share this with Jesus. Oh man, Jesus, you can't understand. Well, yes, he can because he just did it himself, right? But they're so excited about telling him what's going on. And I want you to catch something, because someone says something about rest. These guys are excited. They're sharing everything that's been going on. They haven't even eaten. Mark tells us that they hadn't even had time to eat because that's what they've just been doing. They've just been ministering so much. But I want you to look and see in the text who the one is who says, you need to rest. Catch it. Jesus said, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me and get some rest. So who initiates that they need rest? Jesus. Jesus says, you need to rest. Now these guys are on the highest of highs, right? But Jesus says, even in the midst of that, you need to rest. But here's the thing, that's the pattern of Scripture. The pattern of Scripture is actually God being the one who's calling his people into rest. He's always the one who's initiating that. When you go back and you look at Moses giving the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, both times. First, whenever they've just come out of Egypt, they've crossed through the Red Sea on Mount Sinai, and he delivers to the people the first time the Ten Commandments. Right? And then the second time is they're about to go into the promised land. They're at the Jordan River and they're about to go into the promised land in Deuteronomy 5. And Moses, he talks about this one command more than he talks about any of the other commands. I mean, if you look at it, there's more words about this particular command because he's trying to help them understand how important it is. And you know which one it is? Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. The command to rest. To rest. It's almost like God knows us as human beings, right? It's almost like he understands us. He knows that we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on doing. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on working. We'll just keep doing and doing and doing. And I think nowhere is this probably more prevalent than in our American culture. Because we think busyness equals productivity. We think if I keep on doing, then I'm going to keep on getting. If I keep on working, then I'm going to keep on getting. But over and over again, God calls his people to come away with him and to rest in him. And here's why I think he does. Because it creates space for us to slow down and to listen to God. For us to slow down and listen to him. I want you to hear how William Barclay, a commentator, how he says it. He says it this way. It may well be that the whole trouble in our lives is that we give God no opportunity to speak to us because we do not know how to be still and to listen. We give God no time to recharge us with spiritual energy and strength because there's not time when we wait upon him. Listen, that quote right there, that kind of leads us into, it brings up this first question, but also the first answer that we have this morning. Why are we resting? Why should we rest? Why do we rest? Why do we stop and pause from the busyness and the demand of our schedules? And while one part might be in your mind, okay, well, listen, I got to sleep, man, you know? Like, I need to be able to rest so that I can recharge this physical body. I get that. That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But the Bible kind of speaks to a deeper reason. The Bible speaks to a spiritual aspect of rest that we need. This spiritual strength that we can recover. Listen, I am all for taking a good nap. Love it. Okay? But it's not just about our physical bodies that need to rest. It's our spiritual ones that do too. Listen, I know way too many people who they can, you know, take their little nap in the afternoon, but they still got all their thoughts and their worries and their concerns for the rest of the week playing out in their mind, right? They can be asleep, but man, the minute they wake up, they're like going at it, right? They're not really resting. They're still concerned. They're still trying to hold on to control. They're still trying to hold on to control. And the kind of rest that God wants for us is when we let go of control. And we say, I'm not the one in control in the first place, God. You're the one in control. Because the world's going to keep on spinning. Right? It's just going to keep on going. And you're thinking about booking your kid's birthday party that's 4 months from today. Right, the venue for it, or whether you're trying to text somebody who's a client of yours, or trying to text them one more time with that proposal. The world's going to keep on spinning. But in real rest, we admit to ourselves that we aren't God, that he is. Only he is. Now, here's what I'm not saying, though. I'm not saying that we don't make ourselves available to anyone. It's not like we just kind of go into a cave and we retreat and we don't talk to anybody. That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? And I want you to see that from the text. Because biblical rest means that we're discerning what needs should be met and which ones shouldn't. And it takes discernment. It takes practice. Now, look back at the text with me and let's see what Jesus does as he takes the disciples away. It says that the very same crowds that were demanding of the disciples, the ones that wouldn't even let them eat, right, literally race around the lake to get to the other side before the disciples. Can you imagine this scene? The disciples are in a boat. They're going across the lake. And these people are like running as fast as they can around the lake. I mean, they're in a boat going across the lake. These guys are going around the top end of the lake and they're trying to get over it. And they beat them. They beat the disciples to the other side. And look at what Mark says about Jesus. He has compassion on them. He didn't go, oh man, guys, they beat us over here. Let's go back out to the lake a little bit. Let's push off. Right? No. He has compassion on them. He has compassion on them. He recognizes the more important need in the moment. And here's the thing. That takes discernment. It takes discernment. Because the key is not everything that comes up for you is going to be equally important to take you away from rest. In fact, Mark actually tells us why Jesus decides to interrupt their rest. And it's not just because the people beat him, right? It's not just because they won. Oh, you win. I guess we're going to do what you need. No, that's not the case. Look what he says. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus knew his mission. He knew why he was here. He was here to be the great shepherd of Israel. Those people needed Jesus' message. They needed to hear what Jesus was trying to say. It matched his mission. Not every need is going to be your responsibility. But listen, some needs are. Some needs are. Jesus' mission was to teach these people about God's kingdom. Healthy rest requires us to develop the discernment to know the difference between what is a need that we need to address and one that we can wait on. The very purpose of rest, then, here's the purpose of rest, is so that we can be restored by God to return to the work that he's called us to do. We're restored by him so that we can go back and do the very work that he's called us to do. Now, here's the next important question to ask yourself. How are you resting? How are you resting? You know, it's crazy how dramatically a culture can change. Like, I remember growing up in the 80s, right? That's what, how many years ago was that? 40-something years ago now, right? I remember growing up in the 80s, and Sundays and Wednesday nights, like, it was sacred, right? There wasn't, you know, sports on Sundays and Wednesdays. There weren't tournaments like that. It was reserved for being with your family and for going to church. That's what it was for. And the truth is, I think a lot of that has become our fault. I think the reason that we see that happening so often now is because we let it happen. We didn't protest. We didn't keep anything sacred. We didn't keep anything holy. They just planned it on top and we just said, okay, okay, okay. So we have no day on our schedule anymore that's sacred for rest, for stillness, for pausing. And the Jewish culture that Jesus was born into, that Jesus was from, they set aside the Sabbath day. It was distinct. In fact, Jesus gets into a lot of trouble about the Sabbath day, right? But it was special to them. It was a holy day. It was a sacred day. Here's what I'm not trying to say. I'm not trying to say that Saturday should be your Sabbath day or that even Sunday should be this day that you have to set aside, you don't do any work. I'm not trying to say that, okay? I'm not trying to say that you're sinning if you don't observe a Sabbath day. But what I am saying is there's something incredibly unique about this, that the God who created every single one of us intentionally, he built a rhythm of work and rest into creation. And it would be foolish of us to ignore the wisdom of that pattern. It'd be foolish of us to ignore that. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how are we making rest holy? How are we setting it apart? How is it separate and distinct and sacred for us? Well, let's look back at the text. And I want you to see how Jesus instructs the disciples in that moment. He says this, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So Jesus gives the disciples two conditions for their rest. He says, "Come with me." Come with me. Can we just stop right here and understand something? We are not going to experience the fullness of rest that God wants us to have until we recognize that we need to get away with Jesus. We need to get away with him. Rest isn't about just planning a time where you can binge watch TV or read a great book, although those are great things. I'm not against those things. But real rest can only come from Jesus. It's found in him. And here's why he tells us. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew. Listen to what he says. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when Jesus is saying this, the reason that he's saying, "Come with me," to the disciples is because he knows he is the only one who can give us real rest. He's the only one. He's the one who can calm the storms. He's the one who can give you peace. We can't find it anywhere else. We're not going to find it in other things. Reality is that doesn't stop us, though. Right? Doesn't stop us from trying. Okay, listen, we're just going to plan a couple of weeks in Hawaii. It's going to be a really great trip. Children are going to rest. We're all going to rest. I mean, we're going to go scuba diving while we're there. We're going to make sure we go mountain climbing. We're going to make sure. Right? Doesn't stop us from trying to plan something, feeling like it's rest. But the truth is, so many times we get back and we're just exhausted. We're exhausted from a trip that was supposed to be about rest. It's crazy. Because Jesus is the one who gives us rest. He's the one who gives us rest. Which is why the next condition that he gives the disciples is super important too. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. To a quiet place. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General, he declared a national epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Backed by years of research, the latest statistics say that the average American spends 5 hours and 33 minutes alone. 5 hours and 33 minutes. If you have children, you know this. They go into their rooms, right? Where'd they go? I don't know. Okay, so Pastor James, let me ask this way. Because it feels like the two things you're saying, that Jesus says that we need to be alone, and then what you just said, it seems like those are kind of counterintuitive. It's like you're trying to tell me that we need to be alone, but that's contributing to our feelings of being isolated and alone. Come on, Pastor James, that's a little bit. But here's the thing I didn't tell you. There's another part of the statistic. In that being alone, those 5 hours and 33 minutes, guess what's not happening? Silence. Know why? Because we are more on our devices during that time, and we're not really alone. We've got all these messages speaking into us. That's not being alone. That's not being silent. That's not being still. In fact, I would say that's the opposite. You're having so much more bombard you. So our isolation isn't just about being alone. It's about being still and quiet. A few of the desert fathers, these are dear Christian brothers in the 4th and 5th century, they called it this. They called it silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. And for them, that time getting away, it wasn't just to get away from the noise and the distractions or even from people. No, it was about paying attention to God. And it was about practicing thoughtfulness towards their inner thought life, what was going on in their thoughts. It was about learning to recognize the sinful patterns and motivations in their own hearts that had led them into sinful decisions. Again, we live in a culture that bombards us with messages. Every day, we face so many. It's like a waterboarding of information. I'm serious. When is it that we get alone and quiet? No devices, no podcasts, no books. Just quiet with our own thoughts before the Lord. For some of you, that terrifies you. And the reason that it terrifies you is because you've never practiced it before. You've never just been still and quieted out all the other noise so you can hear what God might say to you. That's why you need it. That's why you need that silence and that solitude. And the Lord, He's calling you away to be with Him alone and still. This is how we should rest. Here's our last question this morning. Perhaps probably the most important one. When are you resting? When are you resting? Because here's the thing, and I'm just going to say this. There is always going to be another email. There is always going to be another text, another project, another meeting, another load of laundry, another set of dirty dishes. Another person who needs your help. So setting aside time to rest, it's going to have to be intentional on your part. You're going to have to make time for it. You're going to have to set aside time for it. And the older I get, you know what I realize about those things we just described? They're really not that important. They're really not. People are important, but those things aren't that important. So, we've already kind of seen Jesus tell us when we should rest. It's a two-part answer. Here's what he says. The first part is that we should make rest a regular practice, right? We saw that through the Sabbath tradition. It's a regular practice that we do. God even established it himself. In fact, when you look back in Exodus, when Moses gives the Ten Commandments, he points back to creation as the reason that we should take time to rest. And here's what it says in Genesis 2, 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So for the Jews, Saturday was their day of rest. It was a weekly rhythm of resting from their work, which, again, I think is a really good idea. I mean, God's the one who kind of did that for them, so it might be good to kind of look at his advice. Again, I am not saying, I'm not trying to be legalistic with this. I'm not trying to say, you got to do it this day. That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? But there is something to having a regular rhythm of rest developed in your life. But there's another time. There's another time that I think that we're supposed to rest. And truthfully, I think this one's a lot harder. Again, it takes a lot more discernment. But look at what Jesus says again. Come with me. Jesus invites the disciples into rest. Come with me. And there are going to be moments or even seasons of your life where you hear Jesus saying that. Come away with me. Come away with me. Because sometimes one day a week is not going to be enough rest for you. And the Holy Spirit is leading you. He's prompting you to take a deeper rest in Him. And again, this isn't something that I can point to biblically and say, see, it says it right there. But here's what I can tell you. From my own experience, that's definitely been the case. Work, 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 work. And God goes, no, I need you to come and rest with me. Come and be with me. And it takes so much of my effort, my own discipline to say, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to rest. But we need to learn to be sensitive to him when he speaks like that. Now, here's what I hope that you didn't hear as we kind of walked through this morning. Me telling you that God commands you to take this particular day to rest. Hopefully you didn't hear that from me, okay? Because here's the thing. God specifically says that the Sabbath, which again is a kind of a guide for us, that the Sabbath day of rest, that was particular to his relationship to Israel and Israel alone. The Sabbath day, in fact, was a sign of their covenant with God. When they chose to honor God and to take Sabbath regularly, here's what's really cool that happened. All the other nations watched as they would take a one day off from work and God would continue to provide for them as a people. Think of the testimony that gives to all of the other people. God, your God continues to provide for you. because you set this part of day, set this day aside to be at rest and worship him. It shows how he's sovereign. Okay, but what about for us? What about it for us as Christians? What shows our relationship with him? The author of Hebrews, he tells us, Jesus has become our new Sabbath rest. And trusting in what he has done on behalf for us on the cross, we can rest from all our work. We can rest from all of it. In other words, we can rest from frantically trying to do all sorts of good things that might make us right with God. Some of you in this morning, that's what you're still trying to do. You're still trying in your own efforts to appease God, to make him happy. Listen, you don't have to do that. You know why? Because he's already done it for you. He already has done it for you. What Jesus did on the cross was final. It's the work that you needed to do, and he's done it for you. So for us as Christians, here's the thing. It's not work, 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 rest. No, actually, it's from the rest that we find in Christ that now we can go out and do the work that God's called us to do. That's how it works. And if you're in this room this morning and you're trying to do all these good things, you're trying to do all these good works, you're trying to earn God's favor, you already have it in Christ. All you got to do is rest in that truth. That's all you got to do. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die in your place, that you might have a life full of rest, full of hope. And if you've never made that decision, if you've never placed your faith in what Jesus has done, Pastor Ronald, Pastor Philip, myself, we're going to be around here a little bit later. We want to make sure that you do that, that you can rest securely in him. Now listen, I started this message by telling you that I have a difficult time practicing this idea of rest, right? This rhythm of rest. So, I mean, if we're being honest, if we're looking at this thing, right, and we're recognizing that it's from our rest that we actually do the things that we do, not the other way around, that we do to do rest, but that from rest we now work, then we have to make sure that we're creating a healthy rhythm of rest. And so I'm going to give you mine. I'm hoping that it'll be encouraging. I'm hoping that maybe it'll be an example for you or something that you can take and you can modify a little bit, okay? But here's mine. I'm calling it the rule of one. The rule of one. Here's what it is. So 1 hour a day, I'm going to set aside to spend time in prayer. Spend time prayer with my Bible and a pen, and that's it. Nothing else, no other device, not anything else. Just setting aside time to be with him. And then 1 day a week, I'm going to rest from my work. That's going to be a really hard one, I'm telling you right now, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to rest from work. I'm not going to answer emails. I'm not going to look at text unless the Lord leads me to say that I need to, okay? Then I'm not going to do that, okay? 1 day a month, I'm going to get away from everything. I'm going to get away from the busyness. I'm going to get away from the noise. I'm going to go find somewhere where I can be silent. Maybe it's a park. Maybe it's a library, but I'm just going to go be quiet and be still before the Lord. And then finally, 1 week out of the year, I'm going to plan a vacation with my family that's restful. That's not about go, 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 right? But that's restful. It's not hurried or rushed. And listen, I hope that that rhythm can kind of inspire you. Listen, maybe it's not an hour. I get that. That's hard. Maybe it's 15 minutes with the Lord. You're saying, you know what? I'm just going to still myself and be quiet for 15 minutes every morning. Man, that would be a great place to start. And that's the other thing. Don't take all these and go, I got to do all of them. That's not what I'm saying either. Okay, this is my rhythm. This is the rhythm I got to. You create your own rhythm. Maybe one of those jumped out to you and you're like, man, that's a really good one. Take that one and just do that one. Right? Don't bite off more than you can chew. But create for yourself a healthy rhythm of rest because it's good for us. And I think that in that, as we're doing that, as we're practicing that, we're going to find that we hear God speak a little clearer, a little better, a little bit easier. Let's pray. Father, this morning, it's our heart's desire that we might be able to rest. God, that we might be able to just get away with you, to find complete rest in Christ, knowing that what he's done is taking care of anything that we might owe you. But Father, also that in him we might be able to lay all of our cares and our burdens and our worries and our concerns on him, knowing that he will take them and that we can feel the peace and the rest that we desire. Father, would you help us to create this rhythm? God, even if it's something simple, even if it's just a 1 minute prayer every day, would you help us to do the thing that brings us restoration of our spirit and not just our bodies? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.